IT podcast. I'm Madeline.
I'm Leah.
Just had like a weird, like,
I'm Madeline.
Madeline.
There's a shitload to get through today.
Yeah. You know, like, I was kind of nervous. I mean, I know we're out of the core proper, but I was like, what's going to happen in this world re-pandemic? Like, will there be anything ever to talk about, basically?
Yeah, there will be. There always is. I mean, I remember at the start of core, I was like, how are we going to have celeb gossip? And then it turns out that they're more cranked out than they've ever been in their lives.
It's so true. We have a couple listener questions. One question is about something we're going to touch on in a bit.
Do we have more than one? We just had one when I looked.
We have another one.
Okay.
Do you watch Siesta Key / did you watch Laguna Beach?
So I watched the first season of Siesta Key. Have you
is
ever
it
seen it?
No.
I feel like you would be into it. It's they were.
You know, I love me some Adam.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Adam though.
Oh. Maybe. They definitely like did the same branding.
I think that it is Adam actually. It has the Adam vibe, but it's like. It's set in Siesta Key, which is like
it's Florida.
Yeah, in a place called Sarasota, Florida, which is like a really like fancy part of Florida, I guess.
The Orange County of Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about like these friends. They're like early college. Like they're usually, I think they're like 20 to 22, kind of.
They're like, we can't do high school anymore.
Yeah, these like rich kids. But this is like something that I heard because the main character is kind of like this guy named Alex. And it's like, he's the guy that everyone wants, but he's like kind of fugly.
Okay. That always happens on an Adam MTV.
Yeah. But
like I felt that with Laguna Beach.
Yeah. But
with like Steven and Jason, it's like, really?
Well, Steven's hot. Don't shit on Steven.
I wasn't that into Steven.
I was.
I need to go back. The hair is kind of out of control.
Yeah, but the main guy is like this guy named Alex, who's like a bit of like a pit bull looking motherfucker. And he has this huge, he lives in this like huge mansion on the beach and
alone or like with his
family? No, his family. Like his family is like kind of like the kings of Siesta Key, I think.
He still lives at home in college. What a loser.
Yeah, or he's like, he might be post-college because I know that there's this whole arc about him trying to go to law school, but he throws like these huge parties at his mansion and like he's kind of like the gold, like the quote unquote golden boy.
Yeah, because he has parties for everybody.
But everybody's always chasing around. But then I heard that his dad is like a producer on the show and that like that's the reason why he's the central character and that none of these people are actually friends. And like the whole point is just to make his son look like
famous?
He's like... Yeah, famous and like, I don't know, like he's like fucking a lot of girls.
Oh,
something like that.
I'm definitely down to visit that because I'm going to fly through the hills. I'm going to rewatch Laguna too. I love Laguna.
Yeah.
I owned it on DVD.
You did?
Yes.
Shit, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you fly through the hills, definitely. I kind of want to revisit Siesta Key. I only watched the first season, but I was hooked when I was doing it.
Yeah.
But I know that like the world's thirstiest reality star, Robbie Hayes. Who seems to be on every show.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like Robbie
oh
from The
God.
Bachelor. Remember he had like a thing
yes,
with Sheena?
Yes.
Robbie did go on Vanderpump Rules and him and Sheena went on that like bachelor-esque date.
Literally like on the top of a roof.
Okay, I've seen.
With no shade. They were like in the deadly LA sun like 60,
imagine going on a
up.
Date in like downtown LA.
No, like. I remember watching and like not being able to breathe because I could like sense the air quality.
I've also seen that stupid slide in like way too many reality shows and like YouTube videos. It's like this dumb slide at the top of some skyscraper. If you could even call it a skyscraper.
A slide. I can't really with that.
Yeah, it's fucking lame, dude. but anyways, I know that he dates a girl on Siesta Key.
Oh, of course. Yes, wait. This was kind of revealed recently.
Ish, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's worth it. MTV reality shows are good. I mean, like they kind of like fly under the radar in like this way. Like, they really,
but that's all it is now.
They really escape like the cultural critics and like the great minds. And
I know
stuff.
They're like, oh, it's for stupid teenagers. Who cares?
It's really, it's well produced reality TV.
Oh yeah.
The challenge is like the most, it's like next to like Bravo. It's like my favorite reality show.
Yeah. How many seasons is The Challenge?
Oh, like too many.
Yeah.
too. I couldn't
Teen
tell
Mom
you.
Is still wanting to, which I'm like, why?
Okay, next cue.
That's it. We had another question about the Paris doc, but we will touch on that.
Yeah, don't worry. We watched it.
So I think the thing we should talk about first, because it kind of like frames a lot of what we are talking about, is Emily Ratajkowski's.
Is it Ratajkowski or Ratajkowski?
Potato, potato. Emrata. Emrata's cut essay, Owning My Image. And like, I'm just going to do a disclaimer. Like, I know we say we're misogynist on this podcast as a joke. And like, I see this woman. I understand her strifes, but
I have empathy for what she has gone through. I do.
Yes, but I don't. I really don't know if we need this amount of writing from
it was,
her.
Well, this is the thing. Is it's like
this was a long piece. Like that feature article.
I was running through the sand trying to get through this thing. Like I was like, what, like why do you need to describe like the golden hairs on your legs, you know?
Oh, I know. And it made like, yeah, at the beginning I was texting Leah and I was like, oh my god, this is so fucking annoying, like I'm pissed. And by finishing it at the end, I'm like, oh, like it's just a little bit sad.
Yeah,
it's but she's complicit. So the whole essay is about her having ownership over her image and like the kind of battles she's faced being a model and like not having copyright over her image and being used, and like, you know, models are treated like shit, especially a model who looks like that. I'm sure like she's been through a lot of disgusting shit.
Well, we know that she has, like, yes. She spells some of it out in this article for sure.
But I also think she is complicit in the ways that she writes, where I think in her attempts to de-objectify herself, she ends up doing it again.
Well, she is, and there's fundamentally nothing wrong with this, but like she is so transfixed with like the way that she looks. Like
there's so many, yeah, I like grabbed so many quotes, like one of them in particular, which starts off, the essay starts off about her posting a photo by a paparazzi where her face is blocked by flowers, and the paparazzo sues her for using the image because she doesn't own the image. And apparently he's kind of like a copyright troll in the courts and like does this to everybody. But she's describing herself in the photo. And she says, in the photo, I'm holding a gigantic vase of flowers that completely covers my face. The wild-looking flowers substitute for my head as if the arrangement had grown skinny legs and thrown on dirty white sneakers. It's
she,
like...
She talks about her thinness a lot. Like a
yeah.
lot.
Like, and another, she like is talking to a photographer and she's like, yeah, I'm actually really tiny.
Yeah.
Like,
when he was like, I thought you'd be a fat girl, which is like, what? And then yeah. She was like, no, I'm extremely tiny. And like talking about her body too. Like she's like, I know that my body is like the force. And it's like, it's because you have like percutaneous like rib cages and like the world's tiniest waist and like a bubble butt.
So this is why I kind of question. She's clearly trying to grapple with herself publicly, which, like, I think could be interesting, but I don't think it's critical enough.
Yeah.
So it ends up reading really flat and just kind of, like, dumb.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is it's, like, yes, this is, like, a really bad story about, like, photographer taking advantage of a model, and like,
yes,
I'm sorry that happened to her, and it's something all too familiar, but...
He ended up, like, capitalizing with, like... a book and multiple art exhibitions.
Exactly. And like if I'm, and it's like, yes, absolutely, like call out this man, but if I'm gonna be a critic about it, I just like don't really understand how this piece functions as like a like culturally at this moment in time, you know?
Yeah. It's also like,
like what's the thesis really?
She doesn't own her image.
Okay.
And so she has to live with that. Like that's what I mean, where it's like she's trying to grapple with herself publicly. It's like, okay, but it's also extremely, which is, I've always felt, I forget where she penned her first thing, or like she did a podcast with Lena Dunham when Lena Dunham had her first podcast. Like, but it's very unrelatable.
Yeah. And it's like in the context of her in this way that she always. Oh, God. Okay, bear with me here. I'm not trying to be like a cunt, but I think that she thinks that she is more culturally relevant and like revolutionary than she is. Like,
no, I think that's you're very on the nose.
Like, she like fancies herself like a Amanda Lepore or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you're so spot on, because when I was reading it, I was like, I thought you kind of were like just keeping to yourself. And like, maybe she's trying to paint herself as a writer because modeling can't last forever, or like, I don't know. And so I appreciate her like kind of trying to do something else. But I just think this is a really niche way of going about and problematic way of going about feminist writing.
It's really problematic. And I've read her writing before, and it's, she's one of those people who is, this is like what the main issue for me is like, so she's desperate to like come across as smart. I don't think she's stupid, but like, I don't necessarily think that she's like a smart person. Mm-hmm. Like, she has things to say, but she is unable to draw any conclusions or have any kind of context that doesn't directly involve herself. Like, yeah. She only knows how to write about her and her very, very specific experience. And like, that's why I'm saying ultimately, what does that do for the culture? Mm-hmm. Like, nothing. It's not like she's like some outlier icon or anything. Like, she's like very particularly beautiful in like this kind of like sickening way.
Well,
but
she kind of like started the Instagram influencer aesthetic.
Right.
So I guess like maybe we could give that to her iconicness, but at the same time,
nothing about her screams iconic to me.
Well, that's the thing. I think that is the problem too, is like her look is so replicated now that it's not interesting or special or unique. It's just like, oh, you look like anybody on an unfortunate day on the Explore page.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like, she does this thing that really bothers me when models do. It's like a really convoluted thing, but like when she's talking about those flowers, she's trying to do this whole cottagecore like ethereal girl thing where she's like, I was like picking out these wildflowers on the street next to the bodega and like talking to like this woman and saying and like telling her that
wearing
my friend
an
was,
old tweed blazer.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, why are you doing this? Like,
I know, it's
You're too hot to have to do this, babe. Like, you know, it's like you don't have to like try to come across as like.
I think maybe she should go back to school.
True.
You know, like she dropped out.
You know what? Maybe she would do really well reading her writing to like a critique.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, I think that her writing could be improved with like. Absolutely. This is, like, another problem is that like when celebrities write this kind of shit, editors are so light-handed about it.
Yeah, they're like, great. Like,
yeah,
they're foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like this reads as like a kind of like personal essay you'd write even to like apply to school.
Like, I would love to workshop this essay with her.
You know? Yeah, in like a constructive way.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're actually being like pretty gentle. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I could be a lot meaner.
Like, this piece is. It's quite something, this piece of writing.
I would argue that it's a bad piece of writing.
It is. And the word count is like actually insulting.
It should be cut in half.
To other people who are on staff at that media conglomerate. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's not okay.
And like,
it's too much info that is.
That's some real rookie writer shit too, is like fixating on like aesthetic details for like paragraphs and paragraphs. Like, it's like, this isn't a novel.
I know. I was like, well, first I was like, okay, this is going to be like so long. It's going to be so dense. But then I was like flipping through paragraphs because it was all descriptive. It's like, okay, skim, 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 skim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a good overarching entry point for the rest of the episode. Because, you know, she does bring up the one interesting point that she brought up in not the most concise way was like calling out the Richard Prince of it all, which like I think ended up not having a sting as it could, because she was like, and then I bought my painting that was worth $80,000. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but when she was talking about getting paid and exposure in her early days, like, she was talking about it as if it's like some revolutionary thing that like nobody knows about. It's like, do you know how many people are still getting paid and exposure?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, oh, this one part of my career where like I wasn't getting paid very much. Like,
Well, that's why I'm saying it's so unrelatable. It's yeah. Like, honey, get in line.
Yeah.
And like, you were already making bank. It's like, she's kind of like muddling the facts about like her finances, where it's like, okay, you were on iCarly in high school. Like, that's a little bit of a retainer. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, she doesn't come from a wealthy background for sure, but like,
she just does a really bad job of like trying to make herself more human. Like, every time she like flails in the process because she's so obsessed with consuming her own image.
Yes. Absolutely.
And like, I don't know, when you're like that beautiful, you know that like for her whole life, that's probably all she's been told.
Yeah, which I also sympathize.
Yeah.
It's like, and I thought she did a good job going through that, her mentality during that like photo shoot where the photographer then like exploited her to the extreme mm-hmm. in many different ways, where she talked about kind of like being like, I want to be better than these other girls, I want to be hotter than these other girls. Like, that was actually like real.
Yeah, no, I liked that part too, because like, we've all been there, you know.
Yeah,
in some way or another. Not I was never a famous model.
Yeah. Kidding. Photographers didn't train me out to Westchester.
But I wrote this down. I lost 10 pounds in 5 days and a chunk of hair fell out a week later, leaving a perfectly round circle of white skin on the back of my head. I struggle with this kind of feminist writing too, where like, obviously Lena Dunham does this, but it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, the sort of like fixation on like ailments and like making yourself seem really like weak and fragile.
Yeah.
Like, it is also kind of, like, infantilizing yourself at the same time. And I'm not trying to, like, downplay anybody's pain, but I just find it to be strange. But, yeah, I don't know about that either. Like, is that really fucked up to say? Because, like, I understand feeling trauma in your body and, like, the ways that it...
I don't think she really went there enough. Like, I don't think... I think you're right. It can be this like culture of victimization. Mm-hmm. And
not that I don't think she's a victim.
No. No. Or Lena Dunham for that matter. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, there are elements to their
although when I'm
personas.
Listening to the C word, I'm like, this is a bit munchy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess the conclusion is like, Amrata, if you're listening, you should apply. You'll probably get into like Harvard.
I feel like there's schools, maybe
or
Iowa,
like Brown, or like, I don't know.
I guess Iowa's a master's. I don't know if you have an undergrad.
Yeah, she could just get a master's.
Just get an honorary
degree.
They give
masters to celebs all the time.
Yeah, go to school for writing, because like, I don't.
Yeah.
If you really want to do
it, clearly is a passion. She clearly like wants to do it, but it just isn't there yet. And maybe writing about yourself, I'm not trying to, again, be a misogynist, but like, maybe write about other things, like write about other celebs, or like, you know, more about the fashion industry and like exploitation. And like, I don't know, like, maybe if she took it outside herself, it could be better too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we talk about the Paris documentary?
Absolutely. I didn't even have any notes, but when I was...
I barely did.
To watch a Paris doc on YouTube on my Roku television, cozied up in a quilt, was... I was like, fall has come. I was like the happiest I've been in a long time.
Yeah, I weirdly like thought the pace of this doc was kind of slow.
Oh, it was really drawn out.
Yeah.
Jesse was getting pretty impatient.
Yeah, and it like... I think it made me realize something kind of radical that I never really had reckoned with myself.
Do you tell?
I don't think I'm a Paris Hilton fan.
Interesting. Interesting. Because I came out on the opposite.
And
I was
it's
like,
not
I've always been a stan, always will be.
And it's not that I'm a Paris hater.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, obviously I was, like, transfixed with her back in the... mid mid-late aughts. But I'm just like, her as a person has never been like that interesting to me, weirdly enough. Like, I'm way more interested in like a Lindsay, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, she exposed the one kind of like puzzle piece we were all missing.
What, the boarding schools?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I also found her, like, the reason I'm kind of re-fascinated is like, she's just like, she's a weirdo.
She is. She's
tacky.
She's an Aquarius.
Yeah. I thought she was funny. Like, I liked seeing her around her friend slash assistant. And like, you know, she's like, she had that simple life energy where she's like scooting across the floor and like, you know, she did produce.
I mean, I do like that she's a bit childlike. Like, I think that like that's something that's pretty cool about her.
Yeah. I'm just going to be all over the place. But I also found it really fascinating how she can't even, she knows she has a persona. It's an intentional persona to the public where it's like, yeah, that's hot.
I think that that's another, I can't stand that persona. Like,
well, I don't think she knows how to, like, she goes in and out. It's almost like Tourette's or something.
No, where, it is like when she was in Mykonos and she was like, I'm in Mykonos. Mm-hmm. I love it here. Look at the sunset. I was like, ah! Like,
and she even was doing creepy. It like, she like talks to like, she was talking, Nikki, we'll get into, I fucking hate that woman. I think she is evil.
She has some Elizabeth Holmes energy.
She is conservative, New York, white bread.
Yeah.
Like,
calls the cops on like black people in her neighborhood, for sure.
100%. Like, tough love, terrifying. But she was getting really annoyed with Paris because they were late. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, what? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she just goes in and out in this crazy way that I'm like, whoa. Like, you are actually have, like, dual personalities.
It's like that chick on Love is Blind who was like, thank you for staying and being here in the morning.
Yeah, which she probably got from Paris.
True.
You know? So, the documentary, it's produced by P. You get on-camera interviews with Nikki and Kathy, which are very rare. Nikki made it very clear that she doesn't do things like this.
I don't do things like this.
It's like, okay. Kyle had a brief stint. No Kim Richards, because I don't think they could trust what would come out of that bee's mouth.
Yeah, if it was produced by Paris, she's like, don't bring Aunt Kim on here.
No, we can't go there.
Or maybe they brought Aunt Kim on and they cut all of her talking heads.
Yeah. But what was really interesting that I gathered, because, you know, they give you the whole Paris Hilton story, amazing archival photographs of her. But what's her name? I don't know what what their mom's name is. Kyle and Kathy's mom.
Like the one who died?
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
But she, unfortunately, is the root of all fucking cause here.
Yeah. Well, she's very Trumpian, right?
Yeah. Like Paris was kind of like a weird kid who like loved animals. And was like a tomboy. And like, you know, and everyone was always just like, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. A la Emily Ratajkowski or Ratajkowski.
Rat-tat-tat remix.
But it was really pushed on her in this way, especially by her grandmother who then died. So it's like,
yeah,
like every home movie, the grandmother is like, oh, Lana Taylor. Oh, like Grace Kelly. Like, just like constantly being like.
Yeah, I knew actually before the doc that they called her Star growing up. Did you know that?
No, I found it really cute.
Yeah.
Star.
Star Jones.
She could never. So they go through her whole ordeal. It ends up that she has a major trauma from being sent to like disciplinary schools,
like multiple therapeutic boarding schools. Did you see that she went to Cascade for a second?
Yes.
Laura Marie Shadehalls's yes. therapeutic boarding school.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you listen to True and On, but the host of that podcast, Brace, who's like a wild like dirtbag left, like fought ISIS, like very crazy. He also went to a boarding school like that, and they have a really good episode about this documentary where he's like, literally, like, one to three people in your extended social circles has gone to these schools. Like,
damn.
And he was even saying that, like, most of the people he knows from his time at those schools are dead.
Yeah, even when Lara talks about it, they have like three friends that are dead now, like committed suicide or
because they just break you.
Or like get addicted to drugs.
They just break you.
I mean, like, what happens at these therapeutic boarding schools is incredibly emotionally scarring. Like,
how dare they even say therapeutic? It's like, what is this?
Like, it fucks you up for the rest of your life. It's like literally about public humiliation.
Yeah. So Paris got, like, beaten up for trying to escape one time. Like, they brought her back and beat her up in front of everybody. She escaped from, like, three other schools.
Yeah.
And then finally, on her last jaunt, she got kidnapped, like, in the middle of the night by these, like, people that work at the school. Like, torn out of her bed. And then...
And her parents just stood in the hallway... like crying and not looking at her.
And then the next day when Nikki and like Baron went to breakfast, the parents literally did not say a word and were just smiling, acting like nothing happened. Like nobody said like, okay, Paris has gone away. Like just completely wasped over it.
Well, this is my aggressive stance is just like nothing ever good comes of like extremely strict parenting and trying to shelter your kids. Like,
absolutely.
I've never seen a good product of that on the other side at all.
No. And I would argue that, like, you know, it was produced by the Hiltons again. So, like, we didn't hear about drugs or alcohol. Like, we didn't hear about that side of things.
Which I would have loved to have known.
Yeah. Because that's obviously where the Nicole Richie went wrong. You know, like, it must have been about drugs and alcohol.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Nicole was, like, really into H.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
Not Nikki Hilton. Nicole Richie.
No, Nicole Richie. Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Like, yeah. Injectables or, like, pills?
I think it might have been sniffing.
Okay. Sorry, not smoking. Pills or, like, speedballing or whatever.
Yeah. But that's kind of when Nicole was at her skinniest on H, that's when they kind of had their breakup.
Interesting.
And I think prayers, you know, it again, like Jesse was like, you can't like take this documentary without a grain of salt. Like she fucking produced the thing. Like we
yeah,
only
it was
heard
a bit
good.
Like it was a bit propaganda core, which is like I have a hard time getting into documentaries like that because I'm like, can you even call this a doc if it's not
no,
like
it's like she wanted a reality show.
Objective point of view, you know? Yeah.
But they do go into where I'm talking about the beautiful archival photos are they moved from, I guess, L.A. to New York during her teens when she was 15. And this is where all of this stuff started to go wrong. So she just started going out because she wanted to find her freaks, which we all do. And yeah. If you have access to a city, her mom was trying to put her into like finishing school and like.
Yeah. And then she was just out there like Suzanne Bartching up.
Yeah. And like walking for Betsy Johnson and like hanging, like actually being so.
They should have just
cool.
Let her. Kate, like. Do you think, I mean, it seems impossible, but it's like, do you think that if that lifestyle wasn't intervened, then she would have been like a like Lee Bowery, like club kid?
Honestly,
like,
yes.
Like she could have been like a New York legacy. And
this
like,
is the thing, like her aesthetic now is still rooted in that time. And yeah. That gave me a lot of like context for like her being so tacky and like over the top where I was like, oh my God, you're like.
A club kid.
A kid of this school. Like, yeah. Patricia Field. Like, you are extra.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's early 2000s New York.
I have a respect for that, obviously.
Have you met me, bitch?
It turns out. But after, basically, Kathy in the on-camera interview was like, I was like, oh, no, why did we move here?
Yeah.
And Paris was just kind of, like, started to, like, when she was 15, before she started getting sent to all these schools, like, just started to, like, disobey her family because her mom is a fucking psycho.
Her mom is an absolute psycho.
Her mom also didn't even know about the abuse, which, like, Paris, it's the first time I think she was kind of, like, being open with it because she's had nightmares her entire life and can't sleep about getting taken away in the middle of the night. And
yeah,
because
that's bound to fuck a person up if it happens to you.
Yeah, and your parents not doing anything, like, that is a bad dream.
Yeah.
And she was also put into solitary confinement at her school, which was like in a stone, like literally like from a movie, in like a cell naked.
Yeah. And it was at a school where they would feed the kids pills every day and not tell them what they were. And she got put in solitary because she found a way to like spit out the pills. And then she got snitched on, and then she got put in solitary for that.
Yep. It's rough. It's really fucked up. I think it has inherently fucked her up.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, once you know it's something that you can't unsee, like, it clearly has informed her entire way of life. What did you think about her wanting to make $1 billion?
Well, I was just like, this is just a beast, right? Like, it's like...
I found that really... I mean, that did not sit well with me.
I mean, it doesn't sit well with me either. I don't love the idea of anybody wanting to make $1 billion, but it's definitely just rooted in, you know, it's like, I think that just once you have crazy paychecks going in, like, it's a high, right? Like, Paris is always chasing a high.
I think that's the high she's chasing. Like,
yeah,
she drinks for sure, but like, I don't think she does drugs. I think she's too psychoactive.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, money is her high, working is her high, so she doesn't have to sleep, basically.
Mm-hmm. I know, she is one of those people that doesn't sleep, but like, this is like something that bums me out about Paris is like, for a while she's been Tana's quote unquote mentor. Like, I don't know how true that is, but like, there's videos of them like hanging out together at her house, and like,
oh no,
it just, it's like that part of it where it just feels really tragic to me. That sort of like clinging on to the youth and relevancy, and like, especially when you're like fraternizing with like these fucking like lobotomized YouTubers.
Yeah.
It's like a really parasitic relationship that like one could call symbiotic, but because it's like, I consider it to be parasitic.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Tana is getting validation from being around Paris and being like, Paris fucking Hilton, like the original influencer, like she's blah blah blah, she's like mentoring me, where it's like, Paris gets validation because like, she's not really a relevant celebrity anymore, and then like, getting in the mix with all of these like, you know, like Z-list losers makes her feel like she's top dog again, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's like how she was hanging out with those fans who flew 30 hours to see her in Japan.
I know, apparently she like is really into her fans.
Well, anytime I've heard a story of like people that we know or like are around us who have met her, it's always been like, she's really not like, she let her style me, right? Like, it's like, it's like, love you, like, it does a picture with everybody, like, she's a professional.
Yeah, she's a pageant queen.
Yeah, I mean, even though she didn't want to do that.
I know, but like, she, like, they indoctrinated the pageant dogma into her, even though she somehow was able to evade it.
Yeah,
but I don't know, her life was still like pretty much a pageant.
What did you think when Kathy Hilton said that Paris is one of the most brilliant people you'll ever meet?
Probably not.
That's when I was like, okay.
I think I've met people smarter than Paris Hilton. I've met people dumber than Paris Hilton, too.
Yeah, like, she's obviously savvy and, like, smart in a way that you and I will never know because we are not Hollywood ingenues. But
we're not?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this podcast, then?
Sorry, I should have told you off the record. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, that's what I was going to say.
Wait, no, like, you're saying she's smart in a way that we'll never know because we're not Hollywood ingenues.
Yeah, it's like, she's, you know, as much as she's not as relevant to us anymore, except for now she has this doc, so, like, she is again. She's very relevant around the world, DJing.
Yeah. Yo, that scene of her fighting with her boyfriend at Tomorrowland. Holy shit.
That was a money shot, baby.
I can't believe they kept that in.
Well, it makes her look good.
It does make her look good.
She was, her anger was amazing.
I mean, yeah, like,
she was going in and out though too, where she was like, stop. And then she was like, please just let me like do my thing.
Yeah.
She's like, stop. Like, it was volatile though. Like,
the meanest thing that you can do is cut someone's artist band off at a music festival.
Babe,
I think I've done things meaner than that in my life.
Yeah, you've had things done to you that are meaner than that.
Yeah. But yeah,
she was random as fuck. And like, if you have to put
a Dirty John random psycho.
Yeah, she was putting baby cams all over her room before she like had him over.
But I really like what she was saying about, because it's so true, how she was like, well, this is like why I can't find a man is because like, you know, I jet around the world and I like do my own thing. And then like they just follow me around and they become completely emasculated. Yeah. And then I stop becoming attracted to them. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's like extremely valid. But then I was thinking about it and I'm like, so who is the right man for Paris Hilton? I think that she's a single gal for life. I don't.
Yeah, she seems really single. It's like she's like a cat dog lady, like, you know.
Yeah,
like, she loves animals. She said she loves them more than people,
which like those people are always sus as to me.
And I think now that she's kind of come out with her trauma, I think this is my doctor hat on, I think she needs to just learn how to be with herself and learn how to sleep and learn how to reconcile things that were out of her control and like forgive herself. And like, I think she has a lot of work to do as like somebody who's kind of approaching 40.
Well, she's the opposite of like, not to like pun it, but like being a simple person. Like she cannot take any joy in like the simplicity of life.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be kind of larger than
herself. I mean, I do think her family's toxic.
Yeah. Oh, you don't fucking say. The Richards.
You know.
The Richard Hiltons.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's on the right path, though. It's like she's trying to heal. So maybe she'll start to invite something else, or maybe like she won't be as caught up in other people. I don't know.
I mean, it was dark when they were like, you can't keep doing this when you get older. And she's like, no, I'm just going to look like this forever. And it's like, but you're not. Like, mm-mm. You randomly still look 25, but like.
Yeah, she does look amazing.
Yeah.
She looks the same.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell in her hands, but that's really it.
Okay, I was confused about this. Why does she keep all those computers?
I think because if she ever tried to get rid of them, there would be material on them.
So she just stashes them all in her house?
Yeah, so basically she buys a new computer whenever she breaks up with somebody because she needs to keep the evidence, like, she's been exploited. So, like,
yeah.
I think because of the sex
tape. In case there's, like, a court case or something.
Also, the sex tape trauma. We got to go there because I did not know she was only 18. That is so fucked up.
And he was, like, in his 40s?
Yeah. And it was the first relationship she had after being at that school where she was put in solitary confinement.
Okay, bruh.
So, I think we really did her dirty.
Yeah.
As a culture.
Absolutely.
And like, yeah, that's really sad. And like, not fair. Like, there was a paparazzi video of her kind of like right before shit started to get awry. And her vibes were so like, obviously it's like when you watch a video of yourself as a kid on home movies, you like cry because you're like, I was so innocent.
Happy.
Like, but it was that where it's like, wow, like within a span of like a year and a half, you will be so scorned.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay, so the worst housewife in the entire franchise, I would argue.
Yep.
Teddy Mellencamp is being exposed.
Finally. You know, I had looked at this all-in program before and thought,
I never did because I was never interested enough to look into it.
Yeah. So Teddy Mellencamp is John Mellencamp's daughter. She's on Rubba. It's her fourth or fifth season.
Who cares, dude?
Yeah. She barely does anything, so it's hard to keep track. But her whole shtick is that she used to be quote unquote overweight, which I would argue, and she lost weight and therefore became a
ortho
health coach and has a program, health and accountability coach. And the program is called All In by Teddy. And so it's basically a weight loss program in which you have an assigned coach.
Okay, I'm so confused. Did they ever advertise it as a weight loss program on BH? Because it seemed like it was just like... a like bettering yourself.
Said she's an accountability coach.
Right.
But on her, she's certified as a health coach.
Got it.
Which, as somebody who is getting into the wellness game, I like really looked at different programs because I was like, oh, like health coaching. And I decided to go with instead being a certified nutritionist. And I'm just going to say that like health coach has a very wide array of like what I'm imagining what the actual certification entails. And I feel like it's kind of like a money making industry where you're not you don't necessarily have the credentials to advise people properly on doing any of this.
Yeah.
She has no nutritional like background. She just has her own
and
self.
She's proud about that, right? It's very like anti-vax core.
Yeah. So the whole thing is kind of centered around before and after photos.
Oof.
Low calorie diet, high cardio.
Low calorie diet, high cardio, and like restrictive low calorie where it's like you eat like specific things.
You have to send photographs and videos of what you're doing. Which leads me to my thesis. I am currently watching The Vow. Have you heard of this?
Like the Nexium?
Yeah.
I need to get on it.
So maybe we can do more of an in-depth episode about that. But like basically Nexium is a cult founded by this man.
I've listened to the podcast, Keith
Raniere. Yeah, there's a podcast on CBC and now there's a documentary on
HBO. Which was edited and produced by a friend of the friend of the pod, Sarah Clayton.
Oh, shout out.
Yeah.
That's major. Anyways, it's like a weird kind of like self-help cult that's like, I can't even get into all of it, but
which like turned into some like deviant sex.
Yeah.
Shit.
So it turned into kind of a sex trafficking ring under the guise of this program called DOS, where a lot of it is, it's where you are trying to commit. It's an accountability exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion number one, where you basically have, you're assigned to a woman who is your master and you are their slave and you have to ask permission for everything. And a big part of it is calorie counting.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally, everything you eat, you send a photo, put the calories and say, can I eat this, master? Which is basically Teddy's program.
It truly is.
So let's just have that in the back of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So Teddy's program, it's like you have to post photos of like your soup. You have to show that you went on a run that day with a video. And if you don't do that, you're not allowed to sleep, which is also a tactic that DOS and Nexium uses, sleep deprivation.
Right. Because it like makes people crazy and like more susceptible to being manipulated.
Or it makes you accountable. It's like, well, you can't sleep until you do this, right? So this all got exposed a couple days ago by this unhinged woman who was part of a New York Times article about this diet called F Factor. I have more info here, but it's this very rich woman from New York who's a registered dietitian. And dietitian, the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist, especially from a holistic standpoint, is like diet is more concerned with like science and performance,
mm-hmm.
whereas holistic nutrition is more concerned with like body, mind, spirit health. So
yeah, it's more woo-woo.
It's yeah, and it's more about like
feeling in tune with your body and like
yeah,
what's
and
right.
being happy. Whereas yeah. dietitian is a little bit about more like goal setting.
It's literally like mostly loss. Aesthetics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I won't get into this F factor diet, but basically people started DMing this woman for some reason. She didn't do the diet, but about really bad symptoms from being on this diet, like miscarrying and having like stomach ulcers and like needing CT scans and having like biopsies from like consuming her products and being on the diet. So then because of that glow up in the New York Times and exposure of the F factor diet, people started to write in about All In with Teddy.
Well, this is my question, is how did it take so long for this to come out?
I don't know. And like, it's funny because the woman who founded F factor, her argument is like, well, if this was such a big deal, why didn't anybody say anything before? You know, but it's like, I think who are you going to go to, right? Like what? like, what would you say? What would you do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you need to have momentum and, like, power in numbers, right?
Yeah.
So one of the highlights, lowlights of Teddy's program is that one, she has recipes on her blog. She also is releasing a cookbook right now.
I can't wait. Can somebody please send us that so I don't have to pay for it? Please.
I wish you could make an Amazon wish list.
One of my favorite things ever was, shout out to Anna Collins for giving me the Fancy AF mm-hmm. cocktail book. If you ever, ever want to get us gifts, just get us, like, dumb books like that.
Yeah, housewife adjacent books.
Like, I live for that shit.
And we'll review them on the pod.
Yeah.
So I saw this because I Googled Teddy Mellencamp when I was trying to figure out what was going on. And she had just released a recipe to Us Magazine that was, like, a chickpea salad, which basically was just, like, half a can of chickpeas, like, cucumber, something else. And it was like, serves too.
It sounds like Teddy's personality. It's like a cucumber chickpea salad that, like, what? Probably doesn't even have, like, a squeeze of lime on it or anything.
Yeah. And then the most viral recipe that's gone out has been a avocado taco recipe where it's three pieces of lettuce, one slice of avocado per each lettuce taco shell, and orange segments.
That's it?
Yeah, that's like a lunch meal.
Okay.
So this woman is peddling anorexia.
That's like it takes one to know one. Like, I know what disordered eating looks like. Like, absolutely. You can't trick me. But it's interesting because I feel like this and Nexium kind of target the same people.
Well,
it's like people of a certain class, people who, like, aren't remarkable in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. The one thing, the thing that I always, like, talk to Jesse about with Nexium is there are no black people in that fucking arena.
And they'd be like, I'm fucking out of here, bro.
It's crazy white people shit to the extreme. Like, literally every time, like, no black people, no black people, no black people. And one of the fucked up things that they do in this documentary that I contest is they have an episode, the most recent episode, they talk about an interpersonal master-slave relationship in DOS, and they do all these, like, reenactment scenes, and they're trying to tell me that a black woman was this girl's master. I'm like, hell no. They're like, she was an organic farmer, like, in Brooklyn. It's like, no black woman organic urban farmer is in fucking Nexium. You cannot peddle that shit. Do not use the only black woman in this whole show to right. be the master of a slave. Hello, that dichotomy too. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, Jeremy anyway. O'Harris, write about it.
That aside, yeah, I mean, the really fucked up thing about this all too is, like, Kyle Richards. Let's go full circle. He's coming to Teddy's defense, like, crazy defiance.
I know. I'm like, maybe they are lesbos.
Well, I think Kyle projects a lot onto Teddy.
Why,
though?
Why? I think
Kyle
thinks
she's Teddy. Where she's like, how? I have a famous family, too. And, like, we're just, like, moms, like, trying to make it and, like, on Housewives.
Oh, yeah. And, like, they're, like, we both have anxiety.
Yeah. And, hello, Kyle Richards also, like, revealed last season that, like, she had an eating disorder. And, like, this is another interesting thing. I was listening to a podcast with Tracy Egan Morrissey and this, like, Bravo lady podcaster. And this was before this happened, but they were talking about All In by Teddy and talking about how hypocritical it is to have Lisa Rinna have this, like, storyline about her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Which I really, when Garcelle called that out, I was like, yes. Because mm-hmm. And I hate the way that it was dismissed, where she's
and it was edited, like, what are these editors protecting? Like, what the fuck?
You know, why are we protecting Rinna? But it's like, it's true. It's like, you're clearly anorexic. Lisa Rinna is, like, fully anorexic. When her and Erica Jane were, like, I don't think Erica Jane's necessarily anorexic, but, like, there is a lot of ano shit.
It's like one hot dog a year.
No, that's literally what I was about to bring up, is they're like, that's how I feel. Once a year, a hot dog. And I'm like, you're eating it without a bun.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, zero carbs. Like,
it's just ridiculous. You know? And Rinna also, I forget where I saw this, but it was caught on camera where she said they had just eaten a big meal and she was like, "Hey, can't eat for another 3 days."
Yeah, and you always see them leaving their food on the table.
Yeah.
That's like, when on the Rome trip, like, there was like 3 bites of food eaten that entire time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I think an interesting thesis too that they were talking about on this podcast is just like, why aren't these other like clear cracks in the foundation storylines? Like, why did it just end up being about Denise? Which I thought was very interesting.
It's true, because it's like, that is like the least inflammatory thing. Like, who ultimately cares that Denise fucked Brandy culturally? Yeah. You
Meanwhile,
know?
Meanwhile, Teddy's getting like a gold star edit barely in the show.
Why is it? Because she's pregnant?
Yeah. It's like, oh, wow. Like, she's having her third kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope, I don't know if Bravo will do anything about this.
It's really bad, but like, I think that one of the most surprising things to me is like Milquetoast Teddy being involved in like this like manipulative,
yeah,
like crazy diabolical organization.
NXIVM adjacent.
NXIVM adjacent. But it's like, that's the funny thing too. It's like, wow, someone who lacks that much charisma is like essentially leading a cult.
Yeah.
It's like, guess I could do it then if Teddy Mellencamp can do it.
Truly. But I think, I mean, and that's the thing too with the cult status and All In By Teddy and the F Factor is just how much money people pay to be a part of something that ends up destroying them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's a really crazy quote that I just have to say with this F Factor diet. There's an F Factor intentions bracelet to be worn on the hand that will either undermine your intentions or honor them. As it holds the fork, reaches for the bread baskets, or dips into the candy dish.
Fuck, man.
Which, again, I'm going to make a relation to NXIVM, is the branding.
It is branding. It's the same. It's
the same principle.
They might not be burning them with, like, hot wire, hot metal, but, yeah, it's still putting a mark on your body in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so fucked.
Isn't it dark?
It's extremely dark.
It's very dark. It makes me, yeah. I mean, it really hits home for me now that I'm, like, studying nutrition and, like, trying to
I'm
be
so glad
that
you're able to bring this perspective.
Yeah, because it's really, that's not what life is about.
No.
Period.
No, it's absolutely not. And, like, learning that more and more, because, like, I don't know, like, a majority of women, I've gone, like, in and out of, like, bouts of disordered eating. And, like, yeah, ultimately it is, it's having, like, a good life that ends up, like, saving you a lot of, yeah, the time, you know, because you're like, well, I don't want to miss out on life.
Exactly. Or, you know, and it just, and therefore a good relationship with food.
Which is, like, a huge part of life.
It doesn't control you.
Yeah.
Like, another,
it's no, that's no way to live, to, like, send people photos of your food and, like, put wristbands on for, like, certain shit. Like,
no. No.
God.
It's messed up.
So she's, like, diabolically evil, which, like, I still can't even believe just because of how fucking bland she is.
But, like, she's bland in these really specific ways, right? It's, like, she's always running for, like, miles and miles and miles. People are like, you ran for 6 miles? Yeah. Like, you're
or they're
pregnant.
Like, you're pregnant. Why are you, like, biking faster than everybody else?
Yeah. Like, it's not a healthy way that she's gotten to where she is. And she's obsessed with before and after photos. Like, on her Insta, I was lurking, she keeps posting before and after postpartum pics. Mm. It's like, you had a baby. It's a pandemic. Like, stop. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. But, like, this makes a lot of sense for me, actually, in terms of her personality. And it's like, oh, like, you're so wound up in this very specific way, where it's like, it explains a lot of her very, like, wah wah nature, yeah, in terms of, it's like, oh, you're just a person that doesn't enjoy life at all.
Yeah, because you love food and you can't eat it. And
yeah,
you are killing your body.
And for what? Like, I know that
to
it's
get on Housewives, I guess. Like,
oh shit.
You know, like,
yeah.
What else? Because it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it like, oh, were you trying to get on Housewives to promote your business? Or did you start promoting your business once you got on Housewives? You know, like, that's kind
it's
of unclear
question.
To me.
Yeah.
The cynics say that she just has always ridden off of her dad's coattails and like will do anything.
The cynics being Denise.
Yeah. And Bravo podcasters alike. But it's just like, you know, I can see again, like with Emrata, it's like Teddy, it's a lot harder, but it's like I have sympathy. It's like you were supposed to be like an ingenue famous person's daughter and you didn't feel that you looked or lived up to those standards. So you've now like starved yourself and now you're rapping all these, you know, it's like we can see where the chain happens
and like,
but it
even
doesn't make it okay.
Even with the trajectory that she was able to pull off, which like isn't much considering, I mean, she is on Housewives, but it's like, it's still by like the skin of her teeth. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's just like such a like depressingly mediocre person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And again, it just makes so much sense that she would be best friends and allies with Kyle Richards.
It really does.
Because they clearly have the same thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Teddy's like parents were like to her. I do.
Yeah, let's explore that, Bravo.
I would love to know a little bit. Yeah, we've literally gotten no information about the woman, and we've been watching her for like 5 years.
But I know that she has like a trillion siblings, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting somewhere.
That's step one.
We're getting somewhere. Last but not least, speaking of knowing where somebody.
Ooh, it's really not funny.
We would be remiss if we did not bring up the arrest of Jerry from Cheer.
Oh God, I know
Leah's literally keeled over right now. It's a day ruining fact. Like it truly like has tainted.
No,
me.
When it came out, we had a text thread with our friends. We were all just like screaming
I
voice
had
notes.
Been on mushrooms. I was like, what the fuck.
We were all literally like, fam.
Like, yeah.
So if you don't know, the hero of Navarro, former hero, Jerry Harris, is that his last name? Was investigated and ultimately arrested by the FBI for soliciting sex and child pornography from minors.
Yeah. I was being an optimist in the beginning, like
me too.
Like, okay, well, his lawyers are like saying didn't happen. Like me being like, yeah,
yeah, or like maybe it's like convoluted, but like no, it was like fully like 13-year-old boys that he was like pressuring to like do things with him at like cheer competitions and stuff.
Yeah, and you know,
oh God, it makes me sick.
Yeah, and I think it makes us sick. I was talking to Kason about this because we had fallen in love with him very recently through a lens of victimizing him.
It's true.
So to now see the victimize others, it's very conflicting.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, we've kind of seen a side to this person where, yeah, it's like I'm in denial when I first hear these allegations.
For sure. Because like, he was portrayed as only good, right? Like only a force
only
of good.
And not only victimized by his mother dying, him having to be adopted, but also never getting on Matt.
Yeah.
Like there was like
him being obsessed with cheer and being like a very mediocre, below mediocre cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and even his arc, like he didn't get on Matt first, right? Like
yeah.
He had to sub in. Like, it's just, you know, I can hypothesize all I want, but it's like, you know, I can see where his trauma would lead him astray. I can't condone, nor do I, or like truly understand what he has done.
Yeah.
I've never been in that place, but it's a hard thing to grapple with. I also think it's an important thing for us to grapple with.
Yeah. Things just aren't as they seem. And like,
yeah.
God, I'm just like such a sucker. I sometimes am so bad. I can go either way, but sometimes with like certain shit, I really just see things as face value. And mm-hmm. I really got to like work around that. I have to be more like Delilah.
Well, it's like we were talking about a while ago of like the first story you hear is usually the one you take as truth, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think Jerry is a perfect example of that, where it's like, what? Like, how? Like, no, like he's good. He's been through things. Like, it's a real mind fuck in a good way.
It's, we got to get checked.
We got to get checked and we have to reconcile these things. And I think we need to also become more comfortable and talk about this stuff more openly so we can like kind of grapple with it as a society. It's like, obviously he committed crimes and they are very damaging and he victimized many people. How do we place cheer in the zeitgeist?
Ooh, that's a good place to leave it, I think.
Bye, guys.
Bye.